We're talking now about domestic violence guidelines. Have you ever given your partner the silent treatment, possibly because you didn't want to tackle the situation head on? Many people do this, even knowing that it's definitely not the best or right solution. Attorney General George Brandis recently launched the National Domestic and Family Violence Benchbook, which aims to promote the best practice in domestic or family-related violence court cases. The new guidelines urge judges and magistrates to look beyond the physical and accept that domestic violence can include emotional and psychological abuse. Domestic Violence New South Wales CEO Moo Balch joins us now to tell us more about this. Thank you for joining me, Moo.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm going very well. And what are some examples of the new circumstances included with emotional abuse?
So, look, this is it's important to understand this is not a change to law at all. So the bench book that was released a couple of weeks ago is really about improving consistency across all of the different legal jurisdictions. You know, as you'd be aware, Sam, we've got different laws in different states and territories. It's only really in the last couple of years that people have begun to understand that domestic violence goes beyond the physical. And so this bench book is really about promoting best practice so that people understand, as you mentioned, emotional and psychological abuse, social, you know, economic, cultural abuse. You know, when we talk about domestic violence, we think about it as being a misuse of power and control. So it's really about all of those types of behaviour that maybe sit outside the physical abuse that we understand, you know, pretty clearly.
And whether or not it's law, what might these new guidelines do for domestic violence victims?
Well, what we hope they're going to do, is give magistrates and the judiciary a bit more guidance so that there's a bit of a common national approach when they're considering cases where domestic violence is present. So really trying to, I guess, get legal practitioners to understand better the non-physical violence, so the behaviour where you're exerting power and control, maybe you're stopping someone from having a relationship with friends and family or community, for example. It might be stalking somebody on Facebook or through social media or by sending them, you know, a whole heap of text messages. It could be, you know, as simple as just putting somebody down or even just a look, criticising the way that somebody appears in their physical appearance, for example, or, you know, having a go at them because they haven't done the household chores. It's, you know, it's a range of different types of behaviour. And I guess what we hope with these changes is actually people will understand that a lot better and that will be taken into account when we're considering that in the legal space.
And I mean, you're saying about these becoming more recognized as a factor, the emotional factors, the psychological factors. How often in the past have judges either forgotten or failed or felt helpless to account for these emotional factors because they're not codified in law?
Look, courts can be really difficult places for a range of different reasons. And certainly within the family court, we know that there are some real challenges with understandings about domestic violence and how that impacts not just on victim survivors of domestic violence, but also on children who might be caught up in family court cases. So that's one place where, you know, we see a lot of domestic violence which has occurred, and there may be AVOs in place. And then when it gets to the family court, that stuff is not considered in, you know, sensitively in the way that it should be.
And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking to Moo Balch from Domestic Violence New South Wales. And could these, you mentioned the impact on children as well, can these guidelines possibly be brought into play as well with child custody disputes?
Look, we hope that this is going to impact, I guess, not just in the court space, but beyond. You know, I mean, as I said, we're having a much more sophisticated conversation about domestic and family violence now. We understand how prevalent it is. We understand, you know, that in the most extreme circumstances, we've got one woman a week being murdered, you know, by a partner or former partner or someone known to her. We know that there are a million children growing up in abusive households or households where there's violence occurring. So I guess what we're hoping is to see, you know, a shift across, not just within the legal system and with the judiciary, but, you know, across all parts of society. And I think education is really key to that as well. What we'd like to see is a lot more conversations about this in schools, you know, teachers feeling really well equipped to deal with it. But then also communities have a big part to play in it as well. You know, we all have a responsibility to to stand up and say something when we see something that's not okay. And we also have a responsibility, I think, to look after, you know, people around us in our communities, in our families, and ask if you see something that doesn't seem okay, have that conversation.